Morning. Today's daf in Zvachim is Samech Zayin. We are starting today on the very, very top of Samech Vav Amud Beis with a Gemara and a question. Well, if the Gemara is going to ask a question, obviously what we need to do is familiarize ourselves with the Mishnah once again. And I'm not going to read the Mishnah again. I'm just take a look back at the Mishnah on Samech Vav Amud Aleph. The beginning of the seventh perek is a really continuation of the sixth perek, and it talks about birds offered as a carbon. So the information that's presented is very straightforward in the Mishnah, and that is that there must be a differentiation between the Chatzos Ofer and the Olas Ofer. Chatzos Ofer, Olas Ofer, the two birds that are offered as a carbon, the only two types of carbonates that are offered from birds are either going to be a Chatzos or an Olam. And in terms of how they're differentiated in terms of location and procedure. The Chatzos Ofer, as we've discussed already a number of times, the blood is sprinkled on the upper portion of the mizbech, lemala michut ha-sikra, and we learned together that the method, the procedure in which it's done, is that the kohen will be doing malika on the neck of the bird. He will be doing it while being on the top of the mizbech. By the way, let me correct myself right away. I'm sorry. The chatzos bird is done lamata michut ha-sikra. It's done below the chut ha-sikra. The kohen is going to be standing on the base of the mizbeach and do the procedure of Malika, which is shechting when it comes to birds in the base of Mikdash, which means that he's going to go in, instead of from the front of the neck or the back of the neck, he's going to go straight forward. He's going to be severing not both pipes, but only one of the two pipes. When I say pipes, I mean kind of a vesha, the esophagus and the trachea. He'll be only severing one of the pipes. After having severed one of the pipes, the Torah says, lo yavdil, should not make a separation. Way we've understood, we're going to continue to understand that to mean that he's not going to go through both pipes. He then is going to be taking the bird where blood is now squirting out of the neck of the bird, and he's going to do a hazah. He's going to sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach, on the wall of the mizbeach, and then he's going to do mitzui if there's any blood left over. He's going to do mitzui. He's going to squeeze it and press it against the actual wall of the mizbeach, and then it's a chatzos bird, which means that the kohen is going to be eating the entire bird. So an anomaly that occurs with a chatzos bird is that nothing goes to the mizbeach, meaning no piece of the bird goes on to the mizbeach. The entire bird is going to be consumed by the kohen, or whatever the kohen can eat, is going to be consumed by the kohen.
In the azara,
it's kachet kadoshim. As opposed to an olas ha'of, where the kohen is now going to the top of the mizbeach, either top of the mizbeach or sovev, or the upper ledge. If you remember, the Gemara gave us two viewpoints in terms of how high he needs to go. But in other words, he's going to go down to the top of the mizbech, and he's going to do malika while being on the top of the mizbech, inserting his nail into the back of the neck of the bird and going through both pipes. And there, the Torah wants separation, havdalah. When it comes to the olas ha'of, there is no hazah, there's no sprinkling. He simply now is going to be taking it, pressing it against the wall of the mizbech for mitzui, and then the entirety of the bird is going to be burnt on the top of the mizbech. This is the basic distinctions that lie between a chatzos bird and an ola bird. The Mishnah on the beginning of the perek that we learned yesterday says that you must do it correctly. And if you do not do any one of these things correctly, so it becomes puzzle. So the Mishnah was super organized in the way it was presented yesterday on Samech Vav Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says that the chatzos of which you do below the chut ha-sikra, procedurally like a chatas, with the intent of a chatas, so that's kasher. And then the Mishnah goes on to delineate, and if I change any one of those variables, so then the chatas bird is pasul. The Mishnah then, with the ola bird, makes the same basic point. If I do it above the chut ha-sikra, with an intent of an ola bird, and procedurally to be done like an ola bird, that's kasher. And if I change one of these variables, it's puzzle. Now, to be fair, with the ola, if I change one of the variables, it's a little bit different than the chatzos. With the chatzos, if I change the variable of the kavana, so then it becomes puzzle, like we learned in the beginning of the Masechta. A chatzos that is done with a shinui kodesh, with the change of designation, it disqualifies it, as opposed to an ola, where if the only thing that has changed, is the only irregularity that's done by the kohen, is if he changes a kavana, so it's not possible. It does disassociate the carbon from the owner, where the owner no longer receives the credit, but as a carbon is concerned, it's a kosher carbon. This is all that we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. And the Gemara's question over here, as we start now in Samech Vav Amud Beis, is a really simple question. Dishani b'mai. Okay, you made a change in designation, and we learned together in the Mishnah, and that's no good. Now, what does that mean? What change did we do? What irregularity was done as far as the procedure is concerned? So, Elam Dishani b'malika. So the Gemara now suggests, well, maybe what was done was malika, meaning, like I pointed out with the Chatas, you are going, you're not going all the way through. You're only cutting one of the pipes, but when it comes to the Ola, you're cutting both pipes. So the Gemara is suggesting that maybe what the Mishnah meant when describing the Chatas Of, where you were Mishana B'maisa, you procedurally did something irregular. So maybe what's being described over here is instead of cutting one pipe, you cut both pipes. So the Gemara says, Namadoluka Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. That's fine. But then let's just all acknowledge that our Mishnah is not going like Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. We learned the last couple of days at the end of the sixth paragraph, Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon says that you're allowed to do a Havdalah when it comes to a Chatas. That you can cut both pipes. In fact, Shamati, we've heard this line again and again, Shamati b'chatas of Shemavdilin. That you could do Havdalah. The Torah says Lo Yavdil. What the Torah means by that is that you don't have to do Havdalah when it comes to the Chatas of, but you're allowed to. That's the opinion of Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. So if when our Mishnah means that you've done an irregularity with the Maisa Chatas, what that means to say is that you have not severed one, but you severed two pipes, and that disqualifies the Chatas Hof from being a Chatas Hof, that's fine, but let's just all acknowledge that then our Mishnah is not going like Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. So the Gemara says, V'lo kimna d'lo ka Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. So the Gemara says, okay, that should be fine, right? Because if you go back to, not yesterday's Mishnah, but if you go back two Mishnahs ago, so we've already established that the Mishnah back on Samech Amud Aleph is not going like Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. So it's fine. Meaning, so the Mishnahs are not following the opinion of Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. So the Gemara says, look, the Gemara says we don't have to say that. And now, it's not that the Gemara is really uncomfortable saying that, meaning it's fine. It really is fine. But what the Gemara is going to do is just look at the Mishnah another way. The irregularity regarding the Chatzot Sof could be understood a little bit differently. Dishani b'hazah. What you did is, the irregularity is hazah, meaning that the Kohen with the Chatzot Sof did not do hazah. So, hachinam and mistar. But the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. It makes more sense to explain the Mishnah in this manner. Why? Midiktani seifa salam alakam asakulan. Because if I do it lamala, if I do it above, so kemasa kulam psula, viafilu kemasa chatzot l'shem chatzot. Even if it is a maisa chatas l'shem chatas, meaning procedurally I did it like a chatas, and the kavana was a chatas, but the difference is that location on the mizbech, I did it above as opposed to below. Dishani b'mai, the Gemara says now, what kind of irregularity are we talking about over here? What shinui maisa are we talking about? Elam dishani b'malika. So the Gemara says, are we talking about where the malika was done, instead of being done on the base of the mizbech, remember, it's a chatas of. Instead of being done on the base of the mizbech, it's done on the top of the mizbech. It is an irregularity, but is that really going to disqualify the bird? Hamar mar malikas b'chol makom b'mizbech kishera. Meaning, where you do malika, not how, but where you do malika is not consequential. You could do malika for the chatas of forever. Now, of course, it makes the most sense to do it by the base of the mizbech. By the bottom of the mizbech, because we know that immediately after malika, you're going to be doing hazah, you're going to do sprinkling, and the blood's going to come out right after the malika. So of course it makes sense to do malika at the base of the mizbech, but is it required? It's not required. So in other words, so if that's the kind of irregularity we're talking about, that's not a big deal. El alav d'shani b'hazah. So it must mean that the irregularity is hazah. Umi d'seifa b'hazah, reishanami b'hazah. And so since the case over here of the chatas of, where an irregularity was done, and the only irregularity is location, so it can't be just simply that I did, instead of doing the malika below the chutas sikra, I did the malika above the chutas sikra. It doesn't matter where you do the malika. It must be that the irregularity is that the Kohen didn't do the hazah properly. Meaning, or let me say it better, he didn't do a hazah. So the Gemara says, so clearly that case of the Mishnah is talking about failure of doing hazah. So the first case in the Mishnah, or really the third permutation of the Mishnah, right? 1C, if you will. So the third permutation of the Mishnah must be the irregularity is where he didn't do hazah. So the Gemara says, Midiriya Hakidisa Vakidisa. The Gemara says, look, it's not really, that's not a compelling argument. One could easily argue that the case of the third example of the Mishnah is talking about an irregularity of Malika. The case of the location is an irregularity of Hazah. And it just happens to be that Shinui Maisa does not have to be the same Shinui in all the cases of the Mishnah. Shinui could be irregularity, and depending on what we're talking about, that's what the irregularity is. We're going on in the Mishnah, Ola Sa'of. Now, we said that the Ola Sa'of, so the Mishnah then did all these examples with the Ola bird, where if I do a Shinui, if I do an irregularity with any one of these things, either Maisa or, well, Kavana, as I already pointed out, Kavana doesn't disqualify the carbon. But if I do a Shinui regarding Maisa, regarding location on the Mizbeach, so the Mishnah says that that's going to be possible, that will disqualify. So here, when we're talking now about doing a Shinui regarding the Ola bird, what kind of Shinui are we talking about? Well, perhaps the Shinui is the Shinui Malika. So the Gemara says, Migdekanik Seifa, Kulan Eimatam and Beis Abliya, Omo Alan Behem. The Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you the problem with that. Meaning, it is a good way to describe the Mishnah, to explain the Mishnah. That when talking about the Ola Sa'of and the Shinui Maisa, so the Shinui could be going on the Malika. And again, with the Ola, we know the Kohen has to go all the way through, cutting both pipes. Maybe what the Mishnah is describing is that the Kohen didn't go all the way through, but rather he cut one pipe, and therefore it's disqualified. The Gemara says that's fine in of itself. That would have been fine. The problem is the Mishnah we're going to be learning in just a couple minutes from now. Where the Mishnah, we see it's coming up in just a couple of lines, the Mishnah presents to us the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. Without explaining it in any kind of depth right now, because it's coming up, so Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that if you take the Ola bird and you only sever one pipe, so the Malika is, you get a check for the Malika. Moreover, not only do you get a check for the Malika, but effectively what happens is that the Ola basically converts into a Chatas. Okay? And again, his position will be explained in more detail later on. So the Gemara says, Mid Tanik Seifa. In fact, the Gemara now is quoting from the Mishnah, which we're going to see in just a moment. Kulan Ein Metamei Mebeis Abliya. That as far as when Malika is done, and even if it's not done properly, meaning let's say it was an Oaf bird, and Malika was done as a Chatas, or a Chatas bird done as a Ola. So in all those examples, so the bird is not going to be a Nevela, which means to say now, it does not give off Tumas Beis Abliya. I'll explain that better when we get to the Mishnah. And Umo Alen Bahen, and it's subject to Me'ila. Meaning, being that it's a Karban, and it's either a Chatas or an Ola, and before Malika was done, it's subject to Me'ila, right? The Isser in the Torah of misappropriating a Karban, making use of a Karban for your own benefit. And because the Chatas was not done properly, so the Mishnah says it's subject to Me'ila, meaning Me'ila doesn't leave it. And again, I'll explain that better when we get to the Mishnah coming up. So now what comes out now is Nehma Deloka Rabbi Yoshua, Deika Rabbi Yoshua Hamar Ein Mo'alin. Rabbi Yoshua, as we're going to learn together in the upcoming Mishnah, says there is no Me'ila for the Ola bird, which is done below the Chotah Sikra, on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, and only one of the two pipes is severed. And with the kavana that it's going to be done like a chatas, so we're going to learn together in the upcoming Mishnah that according to Rabbi Yoshua, there's no longer me'ila. Meaning, it basically turns into a chatas. Right? To be explained in much greater detail later on. Just give me a moment. Again, I inadequately explained the Mishnah. So, but right now, here's the only thing we need to know. That if that is the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua, and let's say it even better, that's an accepted opinion. So that means to say then that if you want to explain Shinui in the manner of where Malika was done with an irregularity, meaning that the Ola bird was done below the Chotah Sikra and it was done with only one pipe, so as we're going to learn together according to Rabbi Yoshua, it's fine. Now it's fine as a Chatas, not as an Ola, but it's fine. So now you're telling me that our Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah that we're explaining right now, the Mishnah on the bottom of the previous Amud, is not going like Rabbi Yoshua. And that's untenable simply because the halacha does fall like Rabbi Yeshua. So name of the look Rabbi Yeshua, Dika Rabbi Yeshua, Amar Ein Mo'alin. So ve'ela b'mitzui. So the Gemara says, so it must be that the irregularity is mitzui, meaning that mitzui wasn't done. So Ema Sefer, the Gemara says, well, Ola Sa'ov Sha'asa Lamata Kamase Chatas L'Shem Chatas, if an Ola bird is done below with the intent of a Chatas, Rabbi Lazar Amar Mo'alin Ba, Rabbi Yeshua Amar Ein Mo'alin Ba. Dishani b'mai. So the Gemara says, so there, what kind of irregularity are we talking about? Ilema b'mitsui. Are we talking about an irregularity regarding mitsui? Ema da'amar of Yeshua Dishani b'malika. B'mitsui mi'amar. I know that according to Rabbi Yoshua, it changes from an ola into a chatas if the malika was done like a chatas. But if mitsui, if mitsui was done, mitsui, by the way, over here, to the exclusion of hazaa, would Rabbi Yoshua take that position? So ve'ela b'malika. So the Gemara says, so it must be that the irregularity is therefore a question of malika. So reisha v'seifa b'malika mitziasa b'mitsui. So the Gemara says, so now follow. We've been discussing now in three different areas in the Mishnah where an irregularity was done. In the example of the ola bird that's done above the, sorry, in the example of the chatas bird that's done above the chutas sikra, and an irregularity was done with the maisa, a shinui maisa is done. So we explained that to mean that the irregularity over there was malika. And then we talked about where it was done below, the chatas bird was done below, but it was done with a failure of hazah. Then we talked about the ola bird that's done above, the ola bird that's done below, and the shinui over there is a shinui in mitsui. So the Gemara says, so now, the Gemara's problem basically is we keep shifting, we keep changing what the shinui actually is. So the Gemara says, basically, that's right, in. Reisha v'seifa b'malika mitziasa b'mitzui. Meaning, that's absolutely correct. Meaning that when you read the Mishnah, you just have to take care when reading the Mishnah to understand that shinui is going to be, shinui is going to change. In of itself, that's a funny sentence. But shinui is going to change, meaning depending on what we're talking about and what the irregularity is, what the change is. So yeah, so in other words, so it's going to be a little bit of a moving target in terms of what it is. But understand contextually, it's going to be something which is going to disqualify the carbon. So it's going to fluctuate throughout the cases of the Mishnah. Okay, let's start the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is going to take us.
I just want to know.
Can I ask you a question?
If that's changed, yeah.
Well, we'll talk more about. It's a fair question. We're going to talk more about it later on in terms of this changing. Right? It's a big idea. It's a big concept. I didn't present it well. I just did it just to navigate through the Gemara. Okay, I'll explain it much better in just a moment. Yes.
Why did they have to introduce the concept of Me'ila? What was the point of using that concept?
Well, I mean, again, I didn't roll it out well. I didn't explain it well. When we do this Mishnah coming up, so you're going to see. Okay. All right, well, let's start the next Mishnah. We're on Samech Vav Amud Beis. We have the Mishnah in the middle of the Amud. V'kulan Eimetam and Beis Abliyah. So, all the cases that we discussed in the Mishnah on the previous on yesterday's daf, and then in the beginning Mishnah of the seventh parak, we're talking about where it's an Ola, and the Kohen did something Chatas about it. Or it was a Chatas, and the Kohen did something Ola about it. And so, let's write the Malika itself is the best way to describe it as, look, it's just a great way to visualize. Meaning it's an Ola bird, which means that the Kohen needed to insert his thumbnail and go all the way through, cutting both pipes and to separate the head from the body. That's the Ola bird. And he didn't, and only severed one pipe. So it's a Shinui. Or the Chatas bird, where the Kohen should only have gone through one pipe, and the Kohen went through both pipes. So what did we learn in the Mishnah? Pasul. Meaning, okay, at this point in time now, the owner does not get credit for that carbon because the Kohen changed the procedure in how Malika is done. That's great. I mean, it's great. Meaning, that's the point of the previous Mishnah. What we're learning together now is it's the bird's not an Avela. Meaning that even though, as far as a carbon is concerned, it is not a qualified carbon, it's a disqualified carbon, but the bird itself is no longer a Avela. Why is the bird no longer an Avela? Because Shechita was done. Now, I know it's not formal Shechita per se, but we're in the base of Mikdash, and now by a bird, Malika is Shechita. And even though it was an Ola bird and the Kohen should have gone through both pipes and the Kohen only went through one pipe, okay, so as far as the carbon aspect of it, failure. But as far as Shechita is concerned, Shechita was done. And so the bird is no longer an Avela. And as far as practical halacha is concerned, well, practical meaning you and me day-to-day life, it doesn't have practical application. But in terms of the halachas of Tumah Tahara, here's what we know. If an animal, not a bird, but if an animal dies without the benefit of a shechita, so the animal gives off tumah. It is now the carcass of an animal is now a source of tumah tanav tumah, and the way that it communicates, it conveys that tumah, is either with maga or masa, either by touching the carcass of an animal or by carrying the carcass of an animal. When it comes to birds, birds is really unusual. Birds, if it died without the benefit of a shechita, so the bird now also is going to be an avatama, source of tumah. How does that tumah get communicated? So we've discussed this many times, we've said this many times, and every time we say it, it's unusual. It is unusual because it's unprecedented. There's no other tumah that is communicated in this manner, and that is it's metame bebeis habliya, which means to say that if a person were to consume the bird, now just for a moment, we understand how ironic that is. A person shouldn't be consuming that bird, the bird's not kosher. Meaning, it might be a kosher bird, not maybe. It is a kosher bird, but it wasn't shechted. So it wasn't shechted, so you and I are not allowed to eat it, but we're not talking about Issa v'heta right now, we're talking about tumah. So if a person were to eat a kezais of that bird, so that person now, as when that food gets into his throat, so now that person is tameh. In other words, that is how the tumah is communicated. If he were to touch the carcass of the bird, he does not become tameh. If he carries the carcass of the bird, he does not become tameh. He only becomes tameh by ingesting a kezias of the meat of that bird. Because malika was done, now and as a carbon is concerned, it was a fail as a carbon. But malika was done. And because malika was done, therefore the bird is not a nevela, and it's not metameh abeis
ablia. We're talking about Cohen or Australia.
We're talking about anybody. It doesn't matter. We're talking about tumah.
But I thought that malika makes it only eligible for eating for the Kohanim. A czar should never eat a
malika is shechita, meaning
what for you, a Kohen, not
no, for a czar. No. In other words, there's no. You are right that no czar is going to eat it. But in other words, what renders it edible to the Kohen is malika. What is malika? It's shechita.
Understood that, but I'm saying if a carbon chata, I mean, a czar is not allowed to eat carbon chata anyway.
We're in the world of tumah right now. Just in the world of tumah. So in other words, it's not a nevela. That's point number one of the Mishnah. Point number two of the Mishnah is that it's subject to me'ila. Now, let's be clear about this as well. Let me take a moment to explain this. Me'ila, as we know, is the issur in the Torah that one is not allowed to misappropriate and use things in the base of Mikdash for their own personal usage. When it comes to karbanos, the rule is very clear. And we're going to see when we get to Masechta Me'ila, we're going to keep pounding this point again and again. And that is when it comes to a karban, when is a karban subject to Me'ila? When it's Kachay Hashem. Kachay Hashem means that when it is designed and designated to go onto the Mizbeach. So when is an Ola going to be Kachay Hashem? The moment you're Makdish the karban. You designated it as a karban Ola, it's now Kachay Hashem. Therefore, at this point in time, before you shecht it, before you shech the animal, before you shech the bird, in other words, at this point in time now, it is subject to the me'ila prohibition. If one were to get benefit from that animal, so then he has to make full restitution, and he's got to add on another chomesh, and he's got to bring a carbon asher me'ila, fine. So that is by an ola. What if it's a chata? Same story. Meaning that the moment that the kohen is makdish, or the owner is makdish animal, is now considered kachay Hashem. Now, when it comes to a chatas, interesting. Meaning, by a chatas animal, when the kohen shechts it, and with a proper shechita, and with everything done properly, and everything done correctly, the meat of that karban now is going to be eaten by the kohanim. Obviously, let's make this point really clear, obviously, the meat is no longer subject to me'ila. That part's true. What about the parts of the chatas animal that are going to go onto the mizbech? They're still subject to the me'ila prohibition. That's kachay Hashem. So it's interesting, by the chatas animal, and as we're going to see in just a moment for the chatas bird, so actually, it's subject to me'ila up until the point where you shecht it. Once shechita is done and done properly, so now it is, as far as the meat is concerned, no longer subject to me'ila. By a shlamim, the rule is a little bit different. By a shlamim, because the general animal itself is not going to go on the mizbech outside of the emurim, so when you're makdish a shlamim animal, the animal is not subject to me'ila. I'm being very clear, I'm being careful how I say this. The animal is not subject to me'ila. Only when the kohen shechs it, then and only then, the emurim that are now going to be designated to go onto the mizbech Only the Emorim are subject to Me'ilah. The rest of the animal, obviously, is not subject to Me'ilah. Okay.
I think his point is that anything, as long as the animal or the bird contains something that can go to the Mizbeah, there's a potential for Me'ilah. For example, the bird has the blood. The blood has to go to Mizbeah, and until then, it's subject to Me'ilah. Once the blood goes to the Mizbeah,
okay.
then it's...
Okay, fine.
As long as there's something that goes to Hashem, you know, like to...
Right. Okay, it is a good way to look at it. By Shlomim, that doesn't work out so well.
And most of it, Emurim. As long as Emurim...
Okay.
When the Emurim is gone, then it's okay. No?
Okay. Again, the way I presented it is just... I understand you want to try to look at it a little bit differently. The way I presented it are the facts on the ground.
Right.
Okay. So now with that stated, what the Mishnah is telling us is the second point. And that is that with the chatzos bird and the ola bird, where there was a failure in the procedure. Go back to the previous Mishnah for all the examples of failure. If it was a failure in the procedure, so now, remember, both the chatzos and ola are subject to Me'ilah at the point where you are maktish it. And for the ola, it continues to be subject to Me'ilah until it's burnt on the top of the Mizbeach. By a chatzos, only a successful shechita, and meaning as a carbon is concerned, only that removes Me'ilah. Because in all the previous cases in the Mishnah, we were talking about failure. Therefore, is still subject to Me'ilah. And that's what the Mishnah tells us. Mo'al and Bahen. And it's going to be subject to Me'ilah. With one notable exception. Now, the next point of the Mishnah is so obvious. Now, obvious, I mean, in other words, once you know all the rules of Me'ilah, the next point of the Mishnah is going to be so obvious, Chutz, with notable exception, of course, of the chatas bird, where the chatas bird is done correctly. Meaning, that was the one case in the Mishnah yesterday by the chatas bird where there was no failure. Meaning it was success. Meaning that with the chatas bird, where the Kohen did the Malika correctly with one pipe, and then Hazah was done and Mitzvah was done, everything was done correctly, below the Chotah Sikra, so now the bird itself is not going to be subject to Me'ilah. But of course, meaning because that's where it was done successfully. But in all the other cases of the Mishnah where we experience failure, either Shinui Maisa or Shinui Makom, in other words, in all the other cases of the Mishnah where we experience failure, so because it's a failure in terms of a carbon is concerned, so therefore it's going to be subject to Me'ilah. Because again, when it comes to birds, the Me'ilah starts when you are Maktashit, and now for the Ola, of course, it's going to continue. And for the chatas, because the chatas was not done correctly, so therefore nothing lifted the Me'ilah.
Question. If they do Malika for the bird, but they don't do for chatat, they do Malika and before applying to the Mizbeah,
I'll tell you what,
is it subject to Me'ilah?
I'll tell you what, ask me afterwards. There's so much over here that I just want to stay focused on. Ask me afterwards, the permutation. Okay. Ola sa'ov sha'asalam, I'm sorry, right? The chutz mechatzah sa'ov sha'asalam atikamase chatzah shem chatzah. Fine. Next in the Mishnah is, what about the following scenario? Ola sa'ov sha'asalam atikamase chatzah shem chatzah. Now, let's say we have the ola sa'ov, which is done below the chutah sikra, and done with a chatzah procedure. Procedurally like a chatzah. L'shem chatzah. Also with the intent of chatzah. Now, the next discussion, which is really going to preoccupy us for the rest of this morning, goes like this. And it's going to sound a little bit strange, I know, but it basically goes like this. Let's say that the bird was designated as an ola bird, and now the Kohen basically did everything to it to treat it like a chatas. In terms of the mice, in terms of the procedure, he did it like a chatas, meaning he only went to one pipe, not both pipes. In terms of the location of the Mizbeach, instead of going onto the top of the Mizbeach, he was in the bottom of the Mizbeach. And instead of having the kavana of an ola, he had the kavanah of a chatas. So now, Rebbe Lazar Omer Mo'alimba. So Rebbe Lazar says, okay, great, Me'ilah. It's subject to Me'ilah. Because, think about it. In other words, it was an ola bird. The moment you were makdish the ola bird, it was subject to Me'ilah. And now, it's an ola bird. And okay, so you treat it like a chatas. You shouldn't have done that. As a chatas is concerned, it's disqualified. And so now, it's subject to Me'ilah, meaning nothing lifted the Me'ilah prohibition. That's Shitas Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Yoshua Amar Ein Mo'alim Ba. Now Rebbe Yoshua says, no, it's no longer subject to Me'ilah. Now, why? Meaning, if you think about it, Rebbe Lazar seems to be right. Meaning, it was designated as an Ola bird. The Kohen did everything wrong about it, meaning treat it like a chatas. Procedurally, location, intent, treat it like a chatas. Okay, but it was set aside as an Ola bird. So in other words, is it subject to Me'ilah? The answer, of course, is yes. Or it should be yes. Rabbi Yeshua's position is that, no, it's no longer subject to Me'ilah. Now, why should that be? Now, here is one of the more interesting parts about the way the whole sugya is presented. Meaning, I'm going to give you the reason why right now. It's not because I'm in touch with any kind of secret. It's not because I had a dream last night. The reason I know this is because when we get to the Gemara is going to give us the reason why. According to Rabbi Yeshua, and now I'm going to present it formally. According to Rabbi Yeshua, you know what happens to this carbon, this Ola bird? It now transforms into a chatas. It actually converts into a chatas. Okay, now, by other carbonos, Tosus makes this point on Samach Zayin and Aleph, by other carbonos, we don't have this. Now, we do have something like this by the Pesach. If you remember by the Karban Pesach, right, that a Karban Pesach that is brought not on the 14th day of Nisan, so now it's shlamim. It converts into a shlamim. And there is a relationship between an Ashram and Ola, which I don't want to get into right now. So, but it is most unusual, or I'll say better, it's unprecedented where an Ola turns into a Chatas. But what Rabbi Yehoshua is telling us, although, again, he's not using these words right now. This explanation that I'm giving right now, you're not going to find it in the Mishnah. We're going to go through the whole Mishnah together. You're not going to find it in the Mishnah. In fact, there's a Braisa we're going to be learning in just a moment from now. You're not going to see in the Braisa as well. It's just, as a sugya is concerned, it's most unusual that the reason behind Rabbi Yehoshua is that what ends up happening is the Ola turns into a Chatas. Now, if it turns into a Chatas, now that's great. Meaning, now I get it. So if the Ola turns into the Chatas, what do we know regarding the Chatas? That once Shechita is done properly, so then as far as the bird is concerned, no longer earmarked for the Mizbeach, now consumed by the Kohanim. As such, no longer subject to Me'ilah. Okay, why doesn't Rabbi Yeshua spell that out in the Mishnah? And in terms of the reason why, doesn't he spell it out in the Braisa? It's really interesting. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Why is it not Pasul?
Right. In other words, that's what Rabbi Eliezer argues. Rabbi Eliezer argues. It's Pasul. Rabbi Eliezer argues it's Pasul, and therefore, because it's Pasul, it wasn't Ola, and it's subject to Me'ilah, still subject to Me'ilah. Okay, good.
So when the korban was designated for Me'ilah and it becomes Pasul.
Well, not designated for Me'ilah.
I'm saying designated for
a korban.
A korban, and it becomes a Pasul, then Me'ilah goes away. If somebody takes
No, that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. In other words, Me'ilah didn't go anywhere. Meaning it was a carbon, and just because the Kohen did not do it procedurally good, meaning a bird Ola, that was designated as a bird Ola, and the Kohen now did not do the Malika correctly, or did not do location correctly, or did not have the Kavana correctly. Again, Kavana by an Ola is not a puzzle. But in other words, but it's still a carbon, and the Me'ilah prohibition still remains.
Per Rabbi Yehoshua.
Huh?
Per Rabbi Yehoshua says that. Not Rabbi Eliezer.
No. What I just described is according to Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Yehoshua, the Me'ilah goes away. How does a Me'ilah go away? Because what ends up happening is that now the Ola turns into a Chatos. It's a really big idea. Okay? In other words, just take time. Take time to...
Why not saying it becomes Pasul?
Because it's not what he's saying.
No, but if it becomes pasul, it's also made
I understand that, but that's not what he's saying.
He's using it.
Okay, in other words, it's going to be in a chatas. Okay, now one of the questions, in other words, now that you know this opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, which by the way is an accepted viewpoint. Now that you know the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua and this idea that the Ola can turn into a chatas, if the Ola is going to be treated like a chatas in every manner, and it actually turns into a chatas. In other words, as far as the carbon is concerned, I can somewhat wrap my head around that idea. It's a really hard idea, but I can somewhat wrap my head around that idea. A question which the Gemara doesn't ask, I'll ask it, and I don't have a great answer. Is there's an owner of the bird?
Yeah.
And the owner of the bird designated this bird as an Ola, and now the Kohen treats it like a Chatas. Now it becomes a Chatas. Well, the owner did something in order to warrant a carbon Chatas. Carbon Chatas is not voluntary. You don't voluntarily bring a carbon chatas. So in other words, the owner over here is getting credited for a chatas, and just even that idea, what do you mean credited for a chatas? You have to do a chet in order to bring a carbon chatas.
Yeah.
And maybe the case over here is where the owner did something that did in fact warrant a carbon chatas.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, mm-hmm. But I'm saying, but maybe, but the Mishnah doesn't discuss it, and the Gemara doesn't discuss it. And I know that's one of the tricky parts of this whole discussion is, like, we're focusing strictly on the bird itself, and we're, like, not discussing the owner of the bird. And he's an owner now of a carbon chatzis. Huh? You're right. The Kohen comes back, says, look, good news, bad news. Right? Good, right? I'll start with the bad news. You're right. You gave me an Ola bird to offer. I didn't do any of it correctly. I did it below the Chutah Sikra, and I only cut one pipe, not two pipes, and I did hazah in addition to mitsui, and I had an intent of a chatas in mind. Okay, so bad news is you got to bring another carbon ola. Okay, sorry. Good news, you have a carbon chatas, and the owner's like, okay, what I do wrong? Okay, so I don't know.
This is a good
No, just do me a favor. Just stay with me, right?
No,
just
if you treat this as a pasul, the problem is solved.
Again, Eddie, do me a favor. Follow me down my path. I'm sending you down the correct path. Meaning this is the simple way to explain the Mishnah, this is the right way to explain the Mishnah, and it's a big, I know it's a really big idea.
Doesn't it govern all as a chata component then also?
No.
Because you bring it for positives and negatives, right?
As far as kapara is concerned, they're not the same. Okay, so the Rabbi Yeshua Omar Ein Mo'alam Ba. So we're still in the Mishnah. We're in Samach Vav Amud Beis. We're still in the Mishnah, and now here we go for a ride, because now what the Mishnah is going to do is a back and forth between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. And as I already pointed out, Rabbi Yeshua is not. In other words, he's holding the cards in his hand. And he's not really showing his cards. Meaning, there's going to be a sparring between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, and they're going to be debating this very issue, but we really are not, through the Mishnah, we're not going to get to the bottom of it. You already are at the bottom of it because I gave away the Gemara. But in other words, we're not getting to the bottom of it through the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Umayim Chata Shein Mo'alam Ba, Lishma. Now, when it comes to a chatas, where, if done correctly, it's not subject to me'ilah, kishishina shma mo'alam ba, and meanwhile, if a change is done, it's subject to me'ilah, meaning because it's, in other words, it's puzzle, and therefore me'ilah doesn't go away. So, ola shma mo'alam ba lishma. So, if I have a carbon ola, which is what we're discussing over here, kishishina shma ino din shma ishiyamalu ba, so if I do a shinui with the carbon ola, So of course it's going to be subject to Me'ilah. Meaning Rabbi Elazar says to Rabbi Yeshua, how can you entertain the idea that Me'ilah goes away? How is Me'ilah going away? It was a carbon ola, assigned as a carbon ola, meaning subject to Me'ilah, and it will always continue to be subject to Me'ilah until it's burned on the top of the Mizbeach. And now because you're changing it to a chata, so it's not going to be a Me'ilah on it? So Amar le Rabbi Yeshua lo. No, if I start with a chatas and try to change it to an ola, I'm changing it to something which is assigned for me'ila. But when an ola, which I'm changing now to a chatas, remember a chatas, if it's done successfully, it's not subject to me'ila anymore. So over here, it's an ola being changed to something which doesn't have me'ila anymore. That is round one. Round two of the sparring between Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yehoshua, as we turn now to the top of Samach Zayin Amar Aleph. Amar lo Rebbe Eliezer v'arei kachi kadoshin sheshachtim b'darim v'shachtim l'shem kachim kalim. Let's imagine now that I have kachi kachim, a carbon which was on the category of kachi kachim, which I shechted in the south, already strike one, meaning you can't do that. V'shachtim l'shem kachim kalim, and the kavana in mind was to have a kachim kalim, a carbon in mind, like a shlamin, for example. Yochichu sheken shina shema l'davar shein bo me'ila. I am now assigning it, I'm changing its assignment, or at least attempting to something which is not subject to me'ila. Shein bo me'ila u'mo'alim b'hem. And meanwhile, it's subject to me'ila. Meaning, again, it was something which was originally set aside, had a me'ila iser attached to it, and I'm changing it to something that doesn't have me'ilah, and meanwhile, it's still subject to me'ilah. Again, Rebbe Elazar's head is exploding. How can you tell me that the ola, where you had the chatzis in mind, no longer subject to me'ilah? Afatal titma ala ola, afapisha shina shmala davar shein ba me'ilah, shiyam aluba. So over here, so it was an ola, and now the Kohen had changed it, or at least attempted to change it as a carbon chatzis, it's still going to be subject to me'ilah. So amar lo Rebbe Yehoshua lo. And Rabbi Yeshua says in response, no. Imamar because shekadoshin sheshachtem adam v'shachtem l'shem kashim kalim shekain shina shmala davar sheyesh bo iser v'heter. In your example, where it was kashim kachim, and the Kohen had in mind, he first of all he did it in the south, and he also had in mind to shechter as a carbon shlamim. Okay, but even a carbon shlamim has an element of me'ila, small element, but has an element of me'ila, i.e. the imurim of the carbon shlamim, which are offered on the mizbeach. Tamar ba'ola sheshina shmola davar shekulo heter. But when it comes to the chatas bird, there is, after shechita is done, of a chatas, no part of the bird is subject to me'ila. The entire bird is eaten by the Kohanim and no part of it is subject to me'ila. So therefore, says Rabbi Yeshua, the comparison is not a fair comparison. So again, what do we have in the Mishnah? A sparring between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, that Rabbi Yeshua says that if I have an Ola bird and the Kohen changes it to a Chatas, so it's no longer subject to Me'ila. Why? So again, we know why, because I gave it away. But in other words, that's Rabbi Yeshua's position. Rabbi Elazar says, how can that possibly be? And in two rounds of sparring between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar says, I don't understand. You're changing it to something else. It doesn't change. It's still an Ola. It still should be subject to Me'ila. And Rabbi Yeshua just simply says it's different. How is it different? Again, I already gave you the answer, but Rabbi Yeshua is just arguing it's different. Tanya, the Gemara, we start with the Gemara. Now the Gemara over here presents the Braisa, and it's basically going to be the same. Meaning, the Braisa over here introduces us to the sparring between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua on this very point. Amala Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, Asham Sheshachta B'tzaf L'Shein Shlamim Yochichu, if I have a carbon Asham that shechted in the north, L'Shem Shlamim, And the Kohen now has a mind to change it to a shlamim. Shishina shmo malim ba, subject to me'ila. Meaning, as a carbon asham, it was subject to me'ila. And again, it wasn't done, the shechting wasn't done properly, so it's still subject to me'ila. Afal tit mala ola shafa pi shishina shmo shim aluba. So Rabbi Elazar says to Rabbi Yeshua, same thing with the bird. The ola bird, where the Kohen now tried to shecht it, to procedurally treat it like a chatas, okay, but it's an ola bird, it's subject to me'ila, and still remains subject to me'ila. I'm a Rabbi Yeshua lo im amart basham shim shina shma lo shina is mekamo. Okay, but in other words, by the asham, in your first case, so you shechted in the right location. So tamar ba'ola shashina shma v'shina mekamo, over here, you shechted in the wrong location. Again, it's different over here. And now again, what the difference is, you know already, but the Braisa doesn't actually say it. Amalo Rebbe Elazar Asham Sheshachta B'Darim L'Shem Shlamim Yochichu Sheshina Shmo V'Shina Mekamo Oma Alam Bo. And so he says, okay, second round of the Braisa. Rebbe Elazar says to Rebbe Yoshua, I'm going to take the same carbon Asham, I'm going to shecht in the south, L'Shem Shlamim, Sheshina Shmo V'Shina Mekamo, there, change of carbon, change of location, and it's still subject to Me'ila. Meaning you had a carbon Asham, it was subject to Me'ila. And because you did everything wrong, it's still going to be subject to me'ila. So, afatal tidmala ola shafa pisha shina shma v'shina mekama malam ba. Same thing with our bird ola. You did it below the chod asikra, and procedurally you treated it like a carbon chatas. Of course it's going to be subject to me'ila. Amalo Rabbi Yeshua lo. And Rabbi Yeshua keeps saying no. No. Ima mart ba'ashram shashina shma v'shina mekama v'lo shina masav. Tomer ba'ola shashina shma v'es masaha v'shina mekama. No, because with the ola, in other words, when I'm doing the ola below, you're changing everything. You're doing everything differently. And therefore what? Well, the therefore what? Again, we know already, but in the Braisa, Rabbi Yeshua says it's just different. Amar Rava v'neima lei ashram sheshachlu b'darim l'shem shlamim v'shino v'balim sheshino v'shma v'shino mekamo v'shino v'masav v'shino v'masav. And Rava now, the Braisa's over. And Rava now wonders, why isn't the fight continuing? Meaning, I can easily envision a round three in the fight. Rabbi Elazar says, oh, really? So let's take the carbon ashram, let's shecht it in the south, so I got the location all wrong. Let's have a kachim kolim kavan in mind, so now I have the kavan all wrong. And let's say, shinui bailim, that the owner of the, that the Kohen had another owner in mind, the wrong owner in mind. So now, in other words, in round three, why doesn't Rabbi Elazar give such an example where you did everything wrong, everything you could possibly envision you do wrong, and he knows that Rabbi Yeshua would agree, the Isser Me'ila still remains on the animal. So, in other words, why isn't there a round three? Because Midalo Kamerle, so Rabbi explains it. You know why there's no round three? Because Midalo Kamerle, Hachi Shama Mina, Nachis Rabbi Elazar, Tamid Rabbi Yeshua. It's because Rabbi Elazar finally gets it. Meaning, what he finally understands is, hey, I understand Rabbi Yeshua. meaning I get him. Meaning, by the end of round two, Rabbi Eliezer says, oh, I figured it out. I know what's behind the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. What is the secret of Rabbi Yeshua? The Amar Rav Ada Ba'ava. And now we're going to be privy to the secret because the Gemara is going to say it in the name of Ada Ba'ava. Omer Ya Rabbi Yeshua Allah Sof Shasala Mata Kamasa Chatas Hashem Chatas Kevish Amalek Basiman Echad Nim Sheches Venasis Chatas Sof. And here it is. Rav Ada Ba'ava says is that when the Kohen takes the Ola bird and does everything about it like a Chatas, procedure location below the Chutah Sugra, procedurally one pipe, not two pipes, and Kavana Achatas bird. What ends up happening, the word of the Gemara is Hamshacha. Hamshacha is that it converts. It basically turns into a, not basically, it turns into a Chatas bird. As such, because it turns into a Chatas bird, is it now subject to Me'ilah? The answer, of course, is no. Not subject to Me'ilah. Because once a Chatas is shechted correctly, so the Yisr Me'ilah goes away. So in other words, that's what's happening over here. It turns
into.
What do you mean there's no reason?
There's no reason why Yeshua changing it just because it's for off only. Is that not for
okay,
animal,
fine.
Right?
That's fine.
So why is he choosing to do for off but not for animal?
Okay, that's a good question. Okay.
What?
Okay.
No, for off, it's a specific for off that he's doing it.
Correct.
Else,
correct.
Why? What is he bringing as a proof?
Okay. It's not a proof.
In other words, as a support of his view.
Okay. So in other words, it's his viewpoint. Now, in terms of understanding a little bit better, so we could say like this. We are going to be learning, today and tomorrow, we're going to be learning Mishnayos and Kinim. The Mishnayos and Kinim say that if a person wants to bring a pair of birds, one's going to be Chatas, one's going to be an Ola, a woman gave birth. Right? And she's going to bring a pair of birds. Okay, so, we all know that she could just simply present the pair of birds to the Kohen, and then the Kohen can make a subsequent designation where this one's going to be a Chatas, this one's going to be an Ola. By birds, birds are more flexible. Birds are more fungible. I know I used that word recently regarding money. It's a term used to describe money. That basically money could be repurposed and reassigned. When it comes to birds, birds have much more flexibility in terms of giving it its assignment. Now, there's only one of two assignments that it could be given, either a chatos or an ola. What Rabbi Yeshua now is going to argue, it's his premise, it's his basis of his position, is that when the Ola bird is done by the Kohen, it was set aside as an Ola bird, meaning it was already assigned as an Ola bird. But what Rabbi Yeshua now is arguing is that if it's done procedurally in every manner, like a Chatas, it actually turns into a Chatas. It converts into a Chatas. Nimshech is v'nasech Chatas of. Iachi Chatas of Nami. Sha'asol ha-malik ha-masa Ola mechi salik. Sorry. Mechi malik ba-siman echa timashech v'tavi Ola sa'of. And so the Gemara says, okay, so now it's a curiosity and it's really the next logical question. Well, if the Ola can become a Chatas, can the opposite also be true? Can a Chatas now become an Ola? Mm-hmm. So in other words, let's say the bird was assigned as a Chatas bird, and now it's done above the Chutah Sikra with both, with both pipes being severed, with the intent of it being an Ola. So does it work in the opposite way as well? V'chitema, just give me a second. And maybe you'll say, well, maybe that's right. V'hamer Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Bina, kach yatzah shel Mishnah. Now, the Gemara quotes a statement of Rav Yochanan, which is, this is the Mishnah. This is the presentation of the Mishnah. Kach yatzah shel Mishnah. Now, what that seems to indicate is that Rabbi Yeshua, whatever he says in the Mishnah, that's it. That's it, meaning that an Ola bird can become a Chatzos bird, but it's seemingly what he's saying is the opposite is not true. So, my love, kach yatzah v'su lo. So the Gemara says, lo, kach hatzah shel kula Mishnah. No, it just simply means that in terms of the presentation of the Mishnah, this is the totality of the Mishnah. Meaning the way the Mishnah is presented is the way the Mishnah is presented, but not necessarily to the exclusion of the flip case of the Mishnah. Rav Ashi Amar Bishlam, and now Rav Ashi is going to argue no. Rav Ashi is going to argue that Rabbi Yeshua does allow for conversion of a bird, but only one direction. Only from an Ola Chatas, not from a Chatas to an Ola. And he's going to explain why that would be. Bishlama Ola Sof Shasalamatika Masa Chatas Hashem Chatas Kevan Daha Hechshir B'Siman Echad V'Ha Hechshir B'Shnei Simanim V'Ola Sof Lamata Leisa Kevan Damalik B'Siman Echad Nimshech V'Nasa Chatas Sof. I know I just read a lot. Okay. He said, basically says like this. Look, you know, as far as Rabbi Yeshua is concerned, why is it that why is it that the ola can become a chatas? Because look, in other words, by a chatas you only need to cut one pipe. So you have the ola bird and the kohen now is below at the base of the mizbeach, and he's inserting his nail and he's only cutting one pipe. All right, so basically now, pause right here. I mean that figuratively, and I could also mean it literally. So pause right here. So in other words, basically what he's done is successful chatas. So in other words, one can make the argument that the ola can convert into a chatas because just by the nature of ola, you cut two pipes, chatas, you cut one pipe. So now when you're with the bird, the kohen's with the bird at the base of the mizbeach, cutting one pipe. So you know what? If we stop right now, very good, successful. Successful chatas. But the opposite's not true. Meaning, but when I take the chatas bird and I go to the top, I can't cut two before I cut one. Just the numbers don't work that way. I can't cut two before I cut one. So in other words, I can't turn it into an ola because just sequentially, I can't cut two before I cut one. So the Gemara says, "Elachatzas of kevin da amar amar malika b'chol makom k'shir mechi malik ba siman echad ifsele ki hada malik beidach siman hechim mishkach hechim mamshacha v'havi olasov." But if I take the chatzas bird and I take it and the kohen takes it to the top of the mizbeach, so in other words, if you want to reassign it as an ola bird in theory, but in other words, it's theoretical. It's not practical. You can't do it in theory. You cut two pipes, but I can't cut two pipes before I cut one pipe. It's just the nature. Now, I guess we could think a little creatively in terms of maybe holding the pipe side by side and going through them simultaneously. We could be a little bit creative, but the Gemara is just, the Gemara is assuming that it's a sequential severing. So, and you're going to cut one pipe. Once you cut one pipe, you shechted it, you molicked it like a chatas. It's a chatas. He can't reassign it. But the opposite, however, with the ola, when you're shechting it below the chodesh sikra, like a chatas, so the moment you go for the first pipe, you've successfully done it, treat it like a chatas. So Rav Ashi is arguing that this shita of Rabbi Yoshua, that conversion can occur is only from ola to chatas, not from chatas to ola.
Can people become mela?
Ask me that question.
Do it.
Ask me after. I'll discuss after. Okay. Gufa Amar Rav Ada Ba'ava Omer Ayer Rabbi Yeshua Olos Ofsha Asal Amat Kemasa Chatzas Shem Chatzas Kevin Shemalak Basam Nechad Yin Shechas Venasas Chatzas Of. So the Gemara restates Rav Ada Ba'ava, and again the secret behind Rabbi Yeshua is this idea of conversion that the Olos Of can become a Chatzas Of Tashma. The Gemara says we'll come in here, and what we'll do this morning is we'll go through one mission together in Kinim. There are a total of three Mishnahs that we're going to be learning in Kinim. Okay, the third Mishnah is going to be the real kicker. Okay, the third mission is going to be the real kicker, and I'll save the third mission for tomorrow. I'll save the second mission for tomorrow as well. We'll learn one Mishnah in Kinim. Kinim is the last Masechta in all of Seder Kachim. We're going to be learning it together. Okay, great. So a short year from now. So approximately. So a little bit longer than that. But we're going to be learning Masechta Kinim. It's three parakim. First parak is doable. Second parak is doable. Third parak is a real mind bender. It is, as Mishnayos go, it's the hardest Mishnayos in all of Shas. Now the good news is it's not me saying that. I haven't gone through all the Mishnayos in Shas. Okay, shameful admission. The ones that Daf Yomi cover, I've gone through them once or twice. But Mishnayos in Zrayim and Mishnayos in Taharos, I still have yet to learn and to master. Okay, so But the Mishnayos in Kinim are the hardest. The Tiferes Yisrael of Rav Yisrael Lifshitz says they are the hardest. Now he writes a commentary to all the Mishnayos, so he's in a good position to gauge like which Mishnayos are hard and which Mishnayos are easy. So they're difficult Mishnayos, and the Mishnayos, what do they deal with? Our topic, in other words, they deal with birds as a carbon. And so the mission over here, we're going to learn one mission together. This mission is not so hard, right? And the next mission also coming up is not so hard. It's the third Mishnah, which we're going to be doing tomorrow. It's a real mind-bender. So Tashma, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Chatas Lezuva Ola Lezu. The case over here in the discussion, oh, by the way, an important detail, which is not insignificant, is that the Mishnayos of Kinim are authored by Rabbi Yoshua. That will be very clear tomorrow, but Rashi says it right here. All the Mishnayos in Kinim are going like Rabbi Yoshua. So now, the case under investigation over here is as follows. Rachel and Leah both just gave birth. Mazel tov to both of them. They both need to bring a pair of birds. One is going to be a chatas and the other one's going to be an ola. So in other words, each one of them has to bring a chatas and an ola. What happened is, is that Rachel, I'm just throwing out names, I'm not throwing out names, I'm using the names Rashi uses. Rachel brought her Ola bird, she still is on the hook for a Chatas bird. And Leah brought her Chatas bird, she's still on the hook for an Ola bird. And so what the two women did, Rachel and Leah, is knowing each other's carbon needs. So they go to the store, they buy a pair of birds together, and they give it to the Kohen, and one is going to be serving as the chatos is going to be necessary for Rachel, and Leah needs the Ola, and they hand the birds over to the Kohen, and they say, okay, do us a favor. In other words, right, I need a chatos, she needs an Ola, here's a pair of birds, go to work. And the Mishnah then goes on to describe chatos azuv Ola lazu, also shteyem, So, what our Kohen did is that the Kohen brought them to the top of the Mizbeach and treated both birds like an Ola. So, Mechza Kasher, Mechza Pasel. So, Rachel, who needed a Chatas, is still in need of a Chatas. Leah, who needed an Ola, she's good. She gets a check. Shtein Lamata, Mechza Kasher, Mechza Pasel. If the Kohen did both birds below the Chotah Sikra, and let's also assume that procedurally did it like a chatas. So half is kasher and half is pasul. Achas lamala ve'achas lemata. One done above, one done below. Shteyem psulos. So then they're both going to be pasul. Why? Shani omer chatas krav lamala ve'ola krav lamata. Because, in other words, the Kohen may have taken the chatas and done it above. May have taken the ola and done it below. So so therefore they're both going to be pasul. And to which the Gemara now wonders, wait one second. In other words, we learned the Mishnah Kinnim, that's great. Nihi nami de ola karva lamata timashech v'tehavei chatas ha'of. Well, according to Rabbi Yoshua, right. Meaning, doesn't it switch?
Yes.
So in other words, so now that I have the ola bird, and if the Kohen, let's say, erroneously, with malfeasance. Okay, now I'm getting out of control. Doesn't have to be with malfeasance. So, but what's it called? Erroneously takes the Ola bird and does it below the Chodah Sikra and treats it like a Chatas. Doesn't it switch over into a Chatas? And why isn't the Mishnah and Kinnim seeming to adopt that position? And again, the Mishnahs and Kinnim are going like Rabbi Yeshua. And so now, if our understanding of Rabbi Yeshua is correct, which it is, meaning Rav Adabava says that the Ola turns into a Chatas, so why doesn't the Ola turn into a Chatas? So the Gemara says like this. Okay, but that Mishnah is where one bird is needed for one woman and another bird is needed for another woman. In such a scenario, Rabbi Yeshua does not believe in Hamshacha. It will not argue conversion. Conversion is only when the bird is only being brought for one person. For one person, there is flexibility in the bird where it was an Ola and it can turn to a Chatas. But where one woman needed the Ola bird and the other woman needed a Chatas bird. For that woman who needed the Chatas bird, she only needed the Chatas bird. So over there, even Rabbi Yeshua will not propose this idea that one bird can just simply convert into another. Okay.
So if Racha bring Chatas and Ola together and he mixes up, then...
Okay, fine. Yes. But okay, so where do we stand right now? So we finished off our sugya of the first Mishnah of the seventh Perek, where we talked about a shinui was done, what exactly was a shinui, so it actually depends on the case, and therefore will depend on what the shinui is. The big sugi that we covered over the course of this morning is the machlokus between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. If the Ola bird was taken by the Kohen and treated everything like a chatas, so Rabbi Eliezer argues, well look, it was an Ola, it still is an Ola, it's going to be subject to Me'ilah, and it continues to be subject to Me'ilah until proper disposal. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, it's not subject to Me'ilah anymore. And why should that be? And so the Mishnah had a sparring between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, and the Braitha had a sparring between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, but as we learn the Gemara together, there's the secret behind Rabbi Yeshua, and that is that his viewpoint is that what happens with the Ola, when done by the Kohen below the Chotah Sikra, is that the Ola actually turns into a Chatas, it converts into a Chatas, which is an anomaly in the world of Karbanos, that one carbon can turn into another carbon. We discussed it earlier. It's not a total anomaly, but it is certainly an anomaly in that we don't have any other time. It is simply unprecedented where an Ola turns into a Chatas, and that's what Rabbi Yeshua is arguing over here. And now what we finished off the daf learning is the Mishnayos and Kinim, which we know are authored by Rabbi Yeshua, and the Mishnayos and Kinim seems to say, suggest that there's no flexibility. And right now we learned one Mishnah and Kinim together, and what we learned together is that, well, the first case that we just presented was a case where it was two people owning the two birds. There's no flexibility. But if it's one person with one bird, so there is flexibility.